Good morning. This is the December 13th, 2020 morning service for Grace Bible Church, taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, entitled, O Tidings of Comfort and Joy. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you may dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. As you know, we are fast approaching Christmas. This year has been a rather difficult one for many people, as you well know. This Christmas season does feel different as well, at least to me anyway. There is a commercial on TV where a family is lamenting the fact that it doesn't feel like Christmas, that everything is closed. And maybe it feels like that to you as well. Well, this year has been different and difficult at times, and this may extend to Christmas as well. May we take the time to make the most important thing the most important thing. Let us remember the reason for the season, at least for us Christians. Let us remember Jesus Christ, our Lord. The song I just read to you encourages us to not be dismayed, but to remember Christ our Savior who was born on Christmas Day. He came to save us from Satan's power. He did this when we had gone astray, and we are exhorted to receive these tidings of comfort and joy. May we take time to remember that the world around us is not the ultimate reality. We are only pilgrims. We are just passing through. The world in which we live is passing away, and there is a vast eternity that awaits those of us who know and love Jesus Christ. This will be an eternity of peace, blessedness, and love, far different than what we are witnessing and experiencing in many of our lives and much of the world. The world can be a scary place, but Christ has overcome the world, and Christmas is a time when we can be reminded of the important truth, of this important truth. Don't be dismayed. Our Savior came to save us from Satan's power, even though we had gone astray. Let us embrace these great tidings of comfort and joy. I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. In this passage, we see shepherds of Israel doing what so many shepherds do, that is, watching over the flock of sheep by night. They were doing what shepherds had done for millennia. And suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, an angel appeared. The glory of God shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. One translation says they were sore afraid. In other words, in our vernacular, we would say that they were scared half to death. The angel assured them, telling them to not be afraid, because he brought a message for all the people. This message had three parts, which we will see as we examine this text this morning. So let me read to you verses 8 to 14 as we begin. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So what is this message, and what are the three parts? The first part of the message that the angels brought was the fact that they brought good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. First, it started out with one angel, and as you see, we had more and more angels get involved in this situation. Looking again at verses 10 to 12. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. As we see, the shepherds were watching over their flocks. They were taking care of the sheep. And it was night. In the preceding verses of this chapter, we see how Joseph and Mary had gone to Bethlehem to register for the census imposed upon the Roman Empire by Caesar Augustus. While in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to Jesus, her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, as there was no room for them in the inn. This was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now an angel had come and brought a message of good news and great joy. What was the message? Well, first of all, it was a message of good news. It was a good news for all the people. And all the people certainly included Israel. The Messiah had come to his covenant people. He had come to the Jews. However, only a small remnant of those Jews to whom he came received him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And as we read the Bible, we learn later that Christ came to die for Gentiles as well. Peter began to grasp hold of this concept as he began his ministry following Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. Paul went further than Peter did and was considered the apostle of the Gentiles. Christ came to die for those who would receive him, Jew and Gentile. The good news was delivered by an angel to the shepherds, and it was for all the people. So what was the good news? The good news was that Messiah had come, specifically, initially, to Israel. The Jews really wanted their Messiah to come. They, for the most part, had a misconception, however, of what Messiah would be like and what he would actually do. They really thought of him as more of a political and a military type of guy, one who would come in on like a white horse, wiping out the Romans, freeing the Jews from political oppression, freeing them from hunger, insignificance, disease, want, and restoring them to a place of prominence in the world. That's what they wanted. It never occurred to them that the first coming, that he would have an entirely different agenda. He did not come to give them their best life now. He would come as a baby. He would come via a virgin birth, that he would actually be 100% man, God, 100% man, be born in a stable, laid in the manger, and that he would work as a carpenter initially, then would start a preaching ministry telling Israel that they needed to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and that he would actually die a horrible death on the cross, that he would be Jesus Christ, that he would be the anointed Savior, that's what the name means, that he would be the Redeemer, that he would buy people back from the slave market of sin, and he would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of those who would repent and believe, that his death would be a substitutionary atoning death, that he would receive in his person the punishment meant for sinners like you and me, that he would take our punishment so that we could be saved from eternal damnation. And that is good news. The Jews, the disciples, didn't immediately get this, at least, but eventually they did, at least for some of them. With this good news would come joy. Great joy. Messiah had come. Despite humanity's sin, God had not abandoned us. There is forgiveness through the cross, but we must humble ourselves and receive it. We can't reject it. We cannot spurn it. We cannot mock it like so many of the Jews as well as the Gentiles did. Great joy can be the result of humbly recognizing our sin and recognizing that we can do nothing to overcome our sin on our own, and repenting of it and turning in simple faith to Jesus Christ and asking him to save us. What a joyous occasion that is. What a joyous message to receive. God intervening in human history and also in their experience and giving people a way out of sin, despair, and judgment. Now that's a message. Now the angels brought good news of great joy. Most of you remember Bonnie Hauser. She passed away recently. And, that was a sad thing. And she started out just going to the hospital for an infection and for some dehydration, and things gradually progressed until the point came when she passed away. But the good news about that is she was a Christian. And the good news about that is that she is with Jesus, and right now she is experiencing great joy. And the angels brought good news of great joy, for they said, anybody who repents and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would be saved. In the city of David, the city of Bethlehem, a Savior was born. Israel needed a Savior. Now, most Jews really didn't get that. Why, they were the covenant people, after all. But there were some that did eventually understand that. This Savior was Christ the Lord. He was the Messiah. He was the Master. He was God in human flesh, and he had come to seek and save those who were lost. It talks about that in Luke 19:10. And he came as a babe, a baby in a manger. He came through a virgin birth, a miracle, so he could identify with fallen humanity, so he could represent them on the cross. That's what this passage, that's what this holiday, that's what this church is all about. First part of the message that the angels brought was good news of great joy. There was a second part to that message. The second part to that message had to do with the glory of God, verses 13 to 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So we see in verse 13, there was a multitude of the heavenly host, angels that appeared along with the original angel. And he was singing, and they were singing with the heavenly host. And they were praising God, and they were also singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Notice the words, glory to God in the highest. That is the first part of verse 14. All of this, Christ's humble birth, the fulfillment of prophecy, Christ being a Savior, Christ being the Messiah, Christ being the Lord, being God in human flesh, all this ultimately brings glory to God, to the Lord, in the highest. Now the Westminster Confession of Faith tells us that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Our salvation from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin all brings glory to God. Christ's miraculous birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary atoning death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection all bring glory to our Lord, to our God. All bring glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our response to this is the desire to bring glory to God in our own lives. Verse 9, the shepherds were watching their flocks, as was their job. This was their purpose. This was their responsibility. And suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. All of this overwhelmed the shepherds, and they were extremely frightened. They had to be told by the angels, or by the angel, not to be afraid. And he had come with a message. He comforted them. He told them about Jesus and what to look for when they went into Jerusalem to see for themselves what they had been told about. And as we look at verses 15 to 20, we see this. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard about it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The result of all they saw and what they saw was that when they went back to Bethlehem, it caused them to glorify God and to praise God for all that they had seen, even as the angels had told them. And you see that there are other angels, and there's a multitude of the heavenly host, and it's joined in the glorifying and praising of God, along with the original angel. And the disciples followed suit after they had gone and seen for themselves what the angels had told them about in regards to Jesus. The whole Christmas story, the entire Bible, the life and death of Jesus Christ, all of human history, all of creation, the salvation of sinners, the judgment of rebels, all ultimately led to the glorification to God. And the Bible says, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the heavens is what that means. John MacArthur, what were they praising God for? He asks. Well, they were praising God because Jesus was born. They were praising God because the Savior had come. They were praising God for the Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, they knew what was going on. They knew Jesus as the second member of the Trinity. They knew Christ before the incarnation, talking here about the angels. They had been associated with Christ in heaven before the incarnation. They knew of his glory. They knew of his riches. They knew of his majesty. They're also aware of the fall of man. They understood the fall of man. They knew about that. They had been informed also that God provided a way of salvation for man. They knew about that. They knew what prophecies had been made, that a Messiah would come, a Savior would come, a sacrifice would be made. They understood the sacrificial system of the Old Testament to some degree. They understood that all those animals had to be offered, and they couldn't take away sin, but they could picture one who would come and die and would. They understood that. They were looking into things that Peter says angels desire to look into, but cannot fully comprehend, because they cannot experience grace and mercy and forgiveness, because holy angels are sinless. They were doing what angels always do. They were praising God. And if you turn to Revelation chapters 4 and 5, you will see them doing it there. That's what they do. They were saying, glory to God in the highest, and the highest is heaven. Now that's the second part of the message. The first was good news of great joy. The second part was glory to God in the highest. These are important. We need good news in our lives, don't we? In our country, in our hearts. All we have to do is look at our Bibles. All we have to do is think about Christmas, the story of Jesus, a baby lying in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's good news, which brings good joy, which brings great joy, no matter what our circumstances or situations are. Glory to God in the highest reminds us that we are to praise and bring glory to God for his indescribable gift, for who he is, and for what he has done for each one of us. Which does what? Brings us to the third part of the message. The third part of the message is peace among men with whom he is pleased. Verse 14. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The first part of verse 14 focuses on glory to God in the highest. And this is referring to the heavens, the highest place. The second part of verse 14 focuses on peace among men with whom he is pleased. This refers to earth, the lowest place. Now, the second part of verse 14 reads differently in the King James. It says, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In the NIV, it says, on earth, peace to men on whom his father, on whom his favor rests. The point of verse 14 is to emphasize that God sent Jesus to bring peace. And this is called salvation peace among men, on whom he has graciously bestowed salvation. MacArthur says that the Greek literally says men of his good pleasure. There are some in whom God chooses and whom he wills salvation. It is not the result of what good men have done. Angels are not rejoicing and glorifying God for what men have done or will do. Angels are not rejoicing that some men will merit salvation. They're glorifying God, though none can merit salvation. God is pleased to give it by his own good pleasure, and there will be salvation peace among men of his good pleasure. Salvation peace means that a saved person will have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation peace is peace between man and God among those whom God has chosen to delight in, i.e. the elect. Angels praise God because he has chosen to delight in bringing salvation peace to sinners. Peace with God does not necessarily mean that there will be peace among people. We are told that as much as it depends on us, we are to be at peace with all men, Romans 12:18. So as Christians, we should seek to be at peace with other people, but that doesn't always happen, despite our best efforts and our best intentions. Verse 14 is not saying that Christ came to bring peace to all men. He states that he came not to bring peace on the earth, but a savior. Not to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. We see that in Matthew 10, verse 34. There will one day be peace on the earth, but it will be a peace that will occur after the second coming, when he rules the earth with a rod of iron, as he says in Psalm 2. He can and will bring peace to the hearts of those who are his. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Christmas is almost upon us. We have a message from an angel, or angels, actually. This message has three parts. Good news of great joy, number one. Number two, glory to God in the highest. Number three, peace among men with whom he is pleased. May this message strengthen our hearts this Christmas season. O tidings of comfort and joy.